Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
UN base, it's a white building, it's marked, it's flagged, it's been there for 40, 50 years, it's known by everyone, so I mean there is no excuse.
Israeli forces have attacked a UN base in southern Lebanon, killing four UN observers. Kofi Annan has called the attack deliberate. We'll speak with the former presidential candidate Denis Kucinich about Washington's refusal to call for an immediate ceasefire in Lebanon. But first, a warning from the American Bar Association.
The use of presidential signing statements by a president of the United States is destroying the system of checks and balances of our government. And it's also destroying the separation of powers doctrine that our founders gave us.
We'll speak with the president of the American Bar Association, Michael Greco. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan is accusing Israel of what he calls an apparently deliberate attack on a UN base in southern Lebanon that killed four UN observers. They were all members of the United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon, known as UNIFIL. According to the UN, Israel continued bombing the base as workers attempted to rescue the victims. Former UNIFIL spokesperson Timur Gaksel told Democracy Now! From Beirut the Israeli military must have known they were targeting a UN building.
UN base, it's a white building, it's marked, it's flagged, it's been there for 40, 50 years. It's known by everyone, so I mean there is no excuse for hitting that building. I just cannot accept that. I mean, as a not knowing or something. I mean, they know where that place is, and everybody knows what it is. And so I find it very, very difficult to accept as an excuse. I don't know what the official excuse is at the moment. As I said, it's very difficult to accept that.
Israel denies the bombing was deliberate. This is Israeli Foreign Ministry spokesperson Mark Regev.
Prime Minister Olmert spoke a short time ago to Secretary General Annan, and he expressed our regret and sorrow at this a terrible event, but we totally and unequivocally reject any charge that this was a deliberate act against a UN position. On the contrary, I know that from day one of this crisis we have been coordinating with UN personnel on the ground to ensure their safety and to make sure that UN personnel are not caught up in the fighting. That's not our intention.
Israel is also demanding Kofi Annan apologize for accusing it of a deliberate attack. The bombing has added further strain on Israel's relations with the UN. Israeli and U.S. officials have expressed outrage in recent days over the UN's criticism of its attack on Lebanon. In an interview with CNN on Sunday, UN High Commissioner Louise Arbour suggested Israel's actions in Lebanon could lead to the prosecution of its military commanders for war crimes.
It's pretty apparent that the scale of civilian casualties in this conflict raise very serious questions about breaches of the laws and customs of war in a way not only that is a breach of international humanitarian law, but that could engage international criminal law and could engage personal criminal responsibility all the way up the chain of command.
Meanwhile, the civilian death toll in Israel's bombing of Lebanon has grown to at least 406. At least 12 people were killed in Israeli airstrikes Tuesday, including two parents and their five children in a bombing of their home. Israel resumed heavy bombardment of Beirut, hitting at least 10 buildings Tuesday. Israel had halted the attacks while Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice visited Beirut Monday. Fighting between Israel and Hezbollah is intensifying. Israel's claiming it killed at least two dozen Hezbollah fighters in the last day. Meanwhile, at least 12 Israeli soldiers have been reported killed and 25 wounded in an invasion of the town of Bin Jebel, 2 miles north of the Israel-Lebanon border. Also Tuesday, Israel announced it will occupy a strip in southern Lebanon, even if fighting comes to a halt. Israel says it'll hold on to the territory until its troops are replaced by an international force that could confront Hezbollah. The Lebanese government has adopted Hezbollah's conditions for a ceasefire. The government wants Israel to return the border territory known as Shaba Farms in Lebanon to Lebanon, release three Lebanese prisoners, and fly over Lebanese airspace and provide a map showing the location of Israeli landmines in southern Lebanon. Israel's rejected the conditions and maintains it will continue the attacks until two captured soldiers are released and Hezbollah is removed from parts of southern Lebanon. Hezbollah continues to launch rockets on Israeli towns. On Tuesday, Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah gave a televised statement threatening deeper missile strikes into Israeli territory. According to the Israeli military, more than 100 rockets were fired Tuesday. The strikes killed at least one person, a teenage Arab Israeli girl. Several homes were damaged in a Hezbollah strike on a village near Nesher. One of the homeowners had attended an anti-war rally in Tel Aviv earlier this week. The homeowner, Ruthie Gore, told Reuters she remains opposed to the war.
I was at the demonstration in Tel Aviv. I was against war. Here you see what war does. What is war? War is destruction.
Meanwhile, in Haifa, dozens of Israelis gathered Tuesday to protest the attack on Lebanon. The protesters carried signs, shouted slogans, and said Israel was dangerously following the Bush administration's policies. Fox News is reporting the Bush administration has given Israel approval to continue the attack on Lebanon for at least another 2 weeks. A senior Israeli official said the U.S. backs Israel's aim to give Hezbollah a strategic blow before it halts the attacks. Israel's shelling of residential areas and Lebanese infrastructure has led to accusations it's carrying out collective punishment. In an interview with the Washington Post, retired Israeli Army Colonel Gal Luft said the goal of Israel's attack is to, quote, create a rift between the Lebanese population and Hezbollah supporters. Colonel Luft added, quote, if you want your air conditioning to work and if you want to be able to fly to Paris for shopping, you must pull your head out of the sand and take action towards shutting down Hezbollah land. Meanwhile, Israel's attack on the Gaza Strip continues to claim the lives of more Palestinians. At least 10 people were killed and 30 wounded in Israeli strikes earlier today. The dead included a 3-year-old girl in northern Gaza town of Jabalia. On Tuesday, UN Emergency Relief Coordinator Jan Egeland was in Gaza to tour Palestinian infrastructure damaged by Israeli attacks. He described Israel's month-long campaign in Gaza as, quote, a disproportionate use of force. He emphasized Israel's bombing of Gaza's only power station.
With the destruction of all of the transformers of this power plant, the only one in Gaza, the Gazan people are going through a crisis of very little water, very little electricity, and this means more diarrhea, more disease, more suffering of children and civilian people. Electricity is really a line of life and hope for any society, anywhere.
In other news from Gaza, the Guardian of London's reporting Palestinian factions are coming close to an agreement to end rocket attacks on Israel and free the captured soldier Gilad Shalit. Several Palestinian factions, including members of Hamas, have reportedly agreed to a deal that would free Shalit and end rocket attacks in return for an end to Israel's assault on Gaza and the future release of Palestinian prisoners. The deal would need approval from Hamas's Syria-based leaders and from the Israeli government. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice wrapped up her visit to the Middle East with a meeting with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in Ramallah Tuesday. Hundreds of people gathered outside Abbas's compound to protest the U.S. support for Israel's ongoing attacks in the Gaza Strip and Lebanon. In Gaza, Palestinian Prime Minister said the U.S. government is backing aggression.
In the name of the Palestinian government, we would like to express our condemnation of the prior American stances, which has granted the Israeli occupation a green light to continue with their aggression on the Palestinian people as well as the Lebanese people.
Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh in Gaza. Secretary Rice said she'd reached an agreement with Israel to allow humanitarian aid into Lebanon. But the Lebanese newspaper, The Daily Star, is reporting Israeli warships forbade a French vessel loaded with humanitarian aid from reaching a port in Lebanon. In Washington, President Bush addressed Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice's visit to the Middle East and continued to dismiss calls for a ceasefire.
So Condi goes with the following message is, we support the Sanaa government, we care about the people, we will help to get aid to the people, and that we want a sustainable ceasefire. We don't want something that's, short-term in duration. We want to address the root causes of the violence in the area. And therefore, our mission and our goal is to have a lasting peace, not a temporary peace, but something that lasts.
The president spoke during an appearance with Iraqi Prime Minister Nour al-Maliki. During the same appearance, Bush confirmed plans to move more U.S. troops into Baghdad.
This plan will involve embedding more U.S. military police with Iraqi police units to make them more effective. Prime Minister advised me that to support this plan, he and General Casey have agreed to deploy additional American troops and Iraqi security personnel in Baghdad in the coming weeks.
The president's announcement has raised concerns the U.S. presence could only increase the violence in Baghdad. Bombings and killings have worsened since U.S. and Iraqi troops launched a massive security crackdown 6 weeks ago. Baghdad's central morgue says it's received more than 1,000 bodies already this month. According to the United Nations, more than 100 Iraqis are being killed each day. Meanwhile, a group of leading Senate Democrats is criticizing Prime Minister al-Maliki's over his condemnation of Israel's attack on Lebanon. Maliki's scheduled to address a joint session of Congress later today. In a letter to Maliki, the senators write, quote, "Your failure to condemn Hezbollah's aggression and recognize Israel's right to defend itself raises serious questions about whether Iraq under your leadership can play a constructive role in resolving the current crisis and bringing stability to the Middle East." The signatories include Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada and Senator Charles Schumer of New York. Al-Maliki's called for a ceasefire and condemned what he called Israel's operation of mass destruction and mass punishment. Several Democratic lawmakers, including Senator Hillary Clinton and Democratic Senate Leader House Leader Nancy Pelosi, have indicated they may boycott Maliki's speech today unless he renounces his comments. In other news, a federal judge in Illinois has dismissed a lawsuit over AT&T's alleged involvement in the Bush administration's domestic spying. U.S. District Judge Matthew Kennelly said forcing AT&T to confirm or deny its collaboration with the National Security Agency could jeopardize national security. The suit's one of several cases brought against telecom companies and the U.S. government over domestic spying. Just last week, a district judge in California ruled a similar lawsuit brought by the Electronic Frontier Foundation could proceed after rejecting the government's argument the case would harm national security. Meanwhile, in Missouri, the Justice Department filed a lawsuit Tuesday to prevent two members of the Missouri Public Service Commission from looking into whether consumers' telephone records were released to the National Security Agency. On Capitol Hill, the Senate approved a bill Tuesday that would make it illegal for anyone to accompany a young woman across state lines for an abortion without notifying her parents. The bill would leave a grandparent, clergy member, or relative open to prosecution. Senate Republicans rejected a Democratic proposal that would have granted an exemption to confidants of abused young women. In environmental news, a new report says global warming's endangering 12 of the most famous national parks in the United States. According to the Natural Resources Defense Council and Rocky Mountain Climate Organization, rising temperatures have led to the loss of wildlife and caused environmental damage. The groups say bear populations are declining and glaciers are melting at alarming rates. In other news, the American Civil Liberties Union has announced it'll appeal the recent dismissal of a lawsuit brought by Khaled al-Masri against the U.S. government. Masri is the German citizen who says he was kidnapped by the CIA and subjected to regular beatings and torture at a secret prison in Afghanistan. In May, a federal judge dismissed his case on grounds it would jeopardize state secrets. ACLU attorney Ben Wisner said, quote, "If this decision stands, the government will have a blank check to shield even its most shameful conduct from accountability." And finally, this breaking news. The condition of former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is worsening. The BBC is reporting Sharon has been taken to the emergency room at a Tel Aviv hospital after more than 6 months in a coma. Those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.